you rejoicing at the feast? Yes. Wow, but I tell you what, God and Jesus Christ are also rejoicing right now in the heavenly abode. When they look down and see a collection of God's people with His Holy Spirit being trained to be in His family, now He can't be more pleased than you can imagine on that side. So I'm going to put the glasses on here for a minute. But there's one being that is not very happy, and that's Satan the devil. He started off being kicked out, thought he was greater than God, knew better than God. We know the story in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, what took place. And he's been after destroying God's work, God's plan, from the very beginning. But God had a plan from the very start, back before there was anything, from the foundations of the earth. He set up a plan to build a family. And it's all about family. It's all about God family. So God's very plan from the beginning of creation was to produce a family. And God is building a family today that we will be with Him in the kingdom of God. Those being called, you in here today, are being called now. And if you repent and return with Jesus Christ, that's our goal. We will return with Jesus Christ and we will rule with Him on this earth for 1,000 years and then continue on forever in His kingdom. If you'll turn to me with me to a very familiar scripture in Revelation. It's a well-known one, but I want to emphasize a little something different here. Revelation 20 and verse 6. It says, and we all know this well, it said, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years, and we know from then on. What I want to emphasize in this is something you want you to focus on. When he says blessed and holy is he or she who has part in the first resurrection. Brethren, there's no other people that are going to have the same calling that you have in God's kingdom. Yes, there will be people in God's family that will come out of the millennial period. They'll come later in the second resurrection, the white throne judgment. There will be others that will be in God's family. But you are unique. There are not going to be any other opportunities like you have now of being called to be part of God's first fruits, heirs with Jesus Christ. You ought to think about that sometimes when you get discouraged or you think you're down or maybe I'm not going to make it or whatever, but Jesus Christ Himself came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That was His goal. He came and told everybody, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you. First step, you got to change. The world we live in is, well, what can we describe? It's chaotic mess. We heard that in the first message. And He said, repent you and believe the gospel. Believe what Jesus Christ came telling you. The kingdom of God is coming. We've been called to be part of that kingdom, part of that ruling family that God started in the very beginning when He created man and Eve. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But the kingdom of God was the central theme of Jesus Christ's ministry. We have been called and chosen for a very special purpose. This is our time of preparation. And I'm hoping you're having a good time. I'm hoping you're rejoicing, spending time with your family as you should, renewing old acquaintances, everything else. But don't forget, we are not here just to have fun. We are here to be trained, to be part of God's ruling family. Now, God's going to probably instill in us a lot more when we get in the kingdom. I would hope so. Because I'm finite. Right now, we're all finite human beings. We are limited in how much ability we have. Now, some are smarter than the rest of us, and I'm at the bottom of the totem pole, but anyway. But we all in here are in training. We all have that opportunity to learn from God's Word what that goal is, to be a ruling member of the family of God. It's our time to learn how to administer God's law, His commandments, His statutes, and to learn how to love one another as Christ loved us. Now, that's a tall order. We're human, and we all make mistakes. And we all offend people from time to time. And sometimes there are people, even in the church, we may not get along with, unfortunately. Shouldn't be that way. But I know it happens. Been at it too long to know that it doesn't. But there's going to be a time when that will stop. And now's the time for us to learn how to be able to forgive. How to be able to put discrepancies we have among each other or whatever behind us. And to learn to love one another like Christ loved us. That's a tall order. Look, it takes work. This is not an easy trip. God didn't say it was going to be easy. What did He say? That the gate was going to be narrow? You know? It's not going to be easy. Never is. We're going to have to work at being in the kingdom of God. Now, God will be there with you all the way. Jesus Christ will be there to encourage you. And, I mean, we all need it. I've needed it, I don't know how many times over my career in God's church. Been in it for a long time. So it's not easy. But there's a priority set in Matthew 6:33. You can look that up later. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. God's righteousness. Not my righteousness. Not somebody else's. But God's righteousness. You study in the scriptures and what God says and defines righteousness. He's saying you'll make the kingdom of God your top priority, but that's not all of it. You need to seek His righteousness in that process. He says that's the first priority in our life, to seek the kingdom. Make no mistake. Although Satan would like to disillusion you and people would try to dissuade you, God's kingdom will be established on this earth. It will happen. Make no question in that. With Jesus Christ as King of Kings, He's going to come. He's going to be the ruler. He's going to set everything straight. God's government, not man's government, will once again be established. The question I have for everyone in here today, are you ready for the kingdom of God to be established? Are you ready? Well, I have to ask myself that question every day, brethren. Is Ray Wright ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Is he ready for the kingdom of God to be established on this earth? That plagues me every day. I work at it. I strain at it. I repent from time to time when I make my mistakes and whatever. But I've been at it 50 years. There's no free lunch. You have to work at it. You have to repent. You have to change. You have to overcome. And you have to ask yourself that question. While you're here at the feast, having good time, ask yourself the question, if Jesus Christ came tomorrow, would I be ready to rule with Him? You know, when Christ returns, it's going to be an interesting time. He's coming, He's going to set up His government, and He's going to command us in these 8 days to learn everything we can. That's what we should be doing, to prepare and get ourselves ready for the return of Christ, so we'll know what to do. You know, we ought to be learning now so that when the end time survivors come out of the tremendous time, they're going to go through tribulation, then they're going to go through the day of the Lord. Have you read what the day of the Lord is going to be like and what these people are going to be coming out of? They're going to be shattered. If some people have said, well, look, I want to get into social working or whatever. I want to really contribute. Well, I'll tell you what, you're going to have plenty of time to contribute when you're in the kingdom. Because those people coming out of that period of time are going to need a lot of care. They're going to need a lot of love, a lot of attention, a lot of handling, holding hands, teaching. I mean, this is what we're being prepared for now. We've had experiences. Some of the experiences, I had to ask myself the question. I was in perfect health. I was going great guns. Bam. Suddenly, I've got a stroke. And a lot of changes in my life. Things I took for granted. You know, like putting on a T-shirt. Not so easy anymore. I had to learn. Well, maybe God gave me something to learn so that I could help somebody else. And I know there's others in this room. We heard from a young man a couple of days ago who's gone through with his wife tremendous trials. I mean, these are trials that you don't want to face in this life, but God gives you some of these trials so that you will learn and be able to help others in the future. I'm going to take you to Matthew 24 because there's one being that wants to stop us and is a road to the kingdom, and that's Satan. So if you'll turn with me to Matthew, and very familiar passages in Matthew 24. And beginning in verse 1. Because Jesus Christ Himself warns us of some things that we need to think about. But in Matthew 24, verse 1, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Now, we know the story there. Jesus went into the temple, saw a lot of the money changers and people defiling His Father's house, as He called it, and He cast them out. So a lot of people think, oh, Jesus Christ was the milquetoast. No, He wasn't. He could enforce Himself when it was appropriate in the proper setting, in the proper way. So after that, He went up to the Mount Olives, and the apostles followed Him along. Disciples gathered around Him. I've been there on the Mount of Olives. Maybe some of y'all have done. And He looked down at the city. And a lot of people think, well, Jerusalem must have been a little dusty village of some nature. No, it was a beautiful city. Sparkling. The temple, everybody. I've seen it, the images of it in the actual illustration of it. And Christ was looking down the city and He said, you know, do you not see all these things? Surely I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Well, I'm sure that was very shocking to His disciples who probably thought, well, I wonder what happened to Him in the temple. He's saying these, He's looking at the city. He's saying not one stone would be left on another. And sure enough, 40 years later or so, Titus destroyed the city. Started in 67 AD. He finished it in 70. Actually, his father started, Vespasian, started in 67 AD. But I hate to break it to the Jewish population that the Wailing Wall is not part of the temple. God said there would be not one stone left upon another, and He doesn't lie. Then He went down to verse 3, and He said, now as He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of Your coming and the end of the age? You know, they were curious. They thought, well, He'll be, you know, they didn't have God's Holy Spirit at this time. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed. This is Christ warning His own disciples that He was teaching personally. How much more this applies to us today? He said, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in My name saying, I am the Christ, and I will deceive many. It's a false gospel, brethren. There are individuals, I've met a lot of different ones that call themselves Isaiah and Ezekiel and whatever in my career. Never met Jesus Christ yet. I hope to someday when the resurrection comes along, it's the real Christ. But there are people out there with false doctrines all over this world teaching false religion from Satan and whatever. We've been privileged to give the true gospel, the real message, the plan of God, the Holy Day plan that reveals the very purpose of man. And brilliant scholars are looking, well, why were we born? What was the whole purpose of man? And here we sitting in here have that knowledge. We have that understanding that they only come through God's Holy Spirit. It's the only way I know, you would know. God gave that gift to you, that His Holy Spirit. He said in verse 14, let's drop down there to verse 14. And the true gospel of the kingdom of God will... Wow. I How are we doing, guys? Am I back? Okay. So anyway, here we go again. So he said, and the gospel, God is talking about the true gospel of God here, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. That's our job now. We've been doing that for many years now. And others before us. You know, you read some of the history of the Sabbath keepers down through the centuries that knew various levels of God's truth. I mean, you read about the Waldenses that went to burning at the stake, singing praises to God. I've asked myself the question, would I have that courage? If I was being led out of here today in chains, and I knew I was going to be burned at the stake somewhere here locally in Montego Bay, how would I react? Would I have God's Spirit strong enough in me to have the courage to face that trial? God willing, we won't have to do that, but that's part of it. Then he goes on in verse 23, just skipping down till we go here. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, there's people in the church of God, unfortunately, the very church of God, that didn't heed these messages and aren't with us today. There's even going to be greater men come along in the future, the false prophet, for instance. And you read about the fact that he's going to die somehow and he's going to be resurrected up, and people are going to be in awe of all the wonders he's going to do. And God's warning us ahead of time, don't be deceived by the things that are out there. Then you drop down to verse 30, and he said, then a sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man, this is Jesus Christ, coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You would think they would be overjoyed. Jesus Christ is returning. No, brethren, they're not going to recognize him. They're going to be so deceived and so wrought with evilness at that time, they won't recognize Jesus Christ. They're going to assemble a huge, massive army to fight against the return of Jesus Christ. You know, when you think of trumpets, go on in verse 31. Let me read that first. And he said, he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect. That's us, the saints of God, are going to be coming back with Jesus Christ in the future. From the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. You know, the Feast of Trumpets is a war feast. Hate to break that to you. Yeah, we're coming back and we're going to war. From the Feast of Trumpets all the way to Atonement. Because atonement is when Christ is going to put away Satan, the devil, the false prophet, and the beast. They're going to be thrown into the abyss. Until then, there's going to be a lot of chaotic reactions that are going to take place. Christ is not going to be welcomed back, let me tell you. It's going to be a battle. 200 million army will be faced off against them, thinking they have some reason they could do some good, but it won't matter. But think about that sometimes when you think about trumpets and atonement next time. Let's drop down to verse 36. But that day at the hour, no one knows when Christ is going to return. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And then he goes down to verse 42. Hey, Jesus Christ is still warning us. He said, watch. Watch, therefore, excuse me. And the hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven. So he said, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So, yeah, let me just... So he goes along, but he said, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. So if you got ample warning that somebody's going to break into your house, would you just back away and let it happen? Or would you be prepared? Would you watch? Christ is saying, therefore you, that's you and me, brethren, he's talking to here. He said, therefore you also be ready. Be prepared. Train yourself. Study your Bible. Practice what God teaches you, how to love one another. Be kind, be polite. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. It's going to happen. Well, there's a scripture that I throw through my good translators over here. I'm going to go over to 1 Peter. It's a well-known scripture. We have used it many times in the past. I haven't used it in a while. But in 2, verse 1, let me drop down to verse 9. He's talking to us, brethren. And he says here in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness." We were all in darkness. Didn't have a clue. I grew up as a Catholic. I didn't even own a Bible, would you believe, until I was about 30, when God started working with me. Or actually, He started a little early than that. But I didn't own a Bible. My wife was looking for the truth. I wasn't looking for anything. Just to be honest, but that's it. But he says, He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. When God gave you His Holy Spirit, or at least associated with it, started opening your mind to new truth, new understanding, you started seeing, wow, I've never heard of this before. And then more and more knowledge starts to come to you. So he said in verse 10, "But who once were not a people and are now the people of God, with that promise of being in the kingdom and part of His family, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy or grace of God." Because you're being blessed, given an opportunity. Look at the small group we have. We got 500 people here, which is really great. Some people, Panama City had 1,000 plus. But when you consider 7 billion people in this world today, we're not even a speck. And yet God's working with each and every one of you. And all you children over here too have that opportunity. So just don't think back, this is mom and dad's. No, God's working with you as well. He wants you in His kingdom. You're the future. What He's planned for each and every one of you. So, we're all blessed by having this thing. Beloved, in verse 11 he said, "Beloved, I beg you," and again, a warning here, "beg you as you sojourn as pilgrims and sojourners, abstain from fleshly lusts which are war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works," which they observe, how you handle the criticism and the different things that come your way. Quick scripture in Ezekiel 14, verse 5. Ezekiel 14, verse 5. You can just write it down. "And His feet shall stand in that day," this is the return of Christ. Where is He going to land? And where He's going to come back to? He's going to come back right to upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. "And the Mount of Olives shall split in two. And the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with you." And of course, we read in other scriptures there where the living waters will flow from the mountain from that split. There'll be a river of healing herbs. "And as revealed on trumpets, Jesus Christ and all the saints will return to the earth to establish God's government once and for all. And then after the beast and false prophet have been thrown into the lake of fire, Satan and demons have been thrown into the abyss, then the kingdom of God will be established." We heard the first message, Satan will be put away. That influence, which is so powerful, we can't even imagine how powerful that is. I could tell a story about Mr. DeCampos here. Why? He didn't tell you the part about the poor little cub lion. He started to take that bite and said, "Ooh, wow, I don't know." So anyway, you just tease him a little bit here. So, but you got God's government will be established, and The rule and reign of Jesus Christ will begin at that point in time when Satan is finally put away, his influence on mankind. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 41. Behold, the day come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And I will put my law in their inner parts. And that can only be accomplished with God's Holy Spirit. And write in their hearts, conversion is of the heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, these are promises from God that we need to take seriously. It's crucial for us to believe what God is telling us in the Scriptures, to believe His Word, brethren. And many people reject it, don't believe it, ignore it. How sad that is not to know that there's such a gift that God's written down. The only book I was told many years ago, if you only have one book, the only book you really need to run anything, whether you're running a business, a church, relationship with people, no matter what, is God's Word. It's all there, everything. J.C. Penney ran his entire organization. Many of you may not remember the Penney stores. I don't even know if they're still around. But he ran his whole business by the Proverbs. Had the whole Proverbs sitting on his desk. He ran the whole business that way by his laws and principles of God. So God has given us ample warning that his Son Jesus Christ is coming and he will restore order and justice on this earth once again. Scripture tells us that salvation is a gift that is conditional. Repentance is required. Change is required. Restoring your relationship with God is required. Having faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, this is all leading to a personal covenant with God through baptism. Each one of us in here that have been baptized made a covenant with God in Jesus Christ. We accepted the sacrifice, the shed blood of Jesus Christ for our sins. He came and paid the penalty, as we heard yesterday. You know, Christ suffered on a cross. He died a brutal death, no question about it. But the greatest sacrifice that Jesus Christ made was humbling himself, giving up his former glory as he prayed to his Father in the garden and said, Father, please restore me to my former glory. He came as a human person. He had to trust that the other Godhead would resurrect him back to being a spirit being in the God family. That was the real sacrifice when you think about it. The rest of it, yes, it was horrible. He shed his blood for you and I. But the greatest sacrifice that God and Jesus Christ, who became Jesus Christ, made was the fact that the Father gave up His Son for us, and the Son willingly gave up Himself for us. You think about that sacrifice. That is huge. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. So he who does the will of my Father, that's the key. Here we see that you must do the will of the Father to enter the kingdom of God and receive the gift of eternal life. We have come to understand that belief and faith are tied to obeying God, His laws, and His commandments, brethren. You know, these are all linked together, our whole relationship with God. Now, Mr. Campbell has picked up 2 Peter 3, verse 10 on. I'm going to do just one verse in that. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter verse 3, chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His, God's, promise. Now think of this. This is a promise from God Himself, okay? The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God would that no one would lose out on the kingdom of God. Now, obviously, there will be some. How many? We have no idea. But thank God this world is thinking this is the only day of salvation. We'll hear that in the last great day. It is not. Billions of people before Christ, after Christ, never heard the truth of God. God's a loving God. He's going to give them the opportunity to know what you know today before He makes a judgment. And they will have a choice to either accept God or reject Him, just like you and I have today. It's in our hands. We have free choice. We can listen, we can read, we can learn, and we can say, yes, Lord, we want to be in your kingdom and part of your family, or not. But see, God left that choice to you and me. And that's a powerful choice. But repentance is vital key to receiving eternal life. Changing from the way we are and the influence of Satan's world to become like Jesus Christ and God the Father. God deeply desires that you and I be in His kingdom and receive the gift of eternal life. He's building a family. He's building a family, and you're part of that family. You're His children. Now, I know every parent in here loves their children, no matter what age they are. My baby's sitting on the front row here, and she's not a little baby anymore, but she's my baby. I want her in the kingdom of God more than anything. How much more did God, who thinks greater than I could ever imagine thinking, want for His children, which is all of us, to be in His kingdom, to be part of His family? But He created us to share who He is and what He is in the kingdom of God. God's very plan from the beginning of creation was to produce a family. We just rehearsed it very quickly in Genesis 1:26. Very famous. We read it quite often. Genesis 1:26. And then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, the God image, the God likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Thanks to Mr. DeCapis to remind us of that. So God created man in His own image, the God image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Create more of my family. I want a large family. I don't want just 10 or 12 kids. I want a whole world full of kids. I want my family to be huge. I want them to fill the earth and subdue it. That was God's plan from the very, very beginning, the whole purpose of man. So believing the gospel includes knowing, believing, and understanding what God's purpose of creating man and women was in the first place. Those of us being called now and repent will return with Jesus Christ to be part of that ruling family. That's what these days represent. That's what it's all about. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. Hebrews 2 and verse 10. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons and daughters unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now Jesus Christ had to suffer. And a result, many of us have to suffer and have suffered. But when you look at the end results, the reward is so much greater than anything we can even begin to imagine. And God deeply desires that you and I share that glory with Him and the kin. Man was created in the image of God with faculties of mind akin to God. We have that ability. We are different than the animals we saw in the first message. We've got that creative ability to make decisions, to make the choice of being in the kingdom or not. That's what was. Man was created from the dust of the ground, physical beings subject to sin and death. But man was created with the potential of living forever in the kingdom of God. You can become a son and daughter of God. It's your choice. And we're here at the feast to celebrate that reigning period when we'll return with Christ to this earth, to reign with Him. You were created to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 16. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. So, okay, there's Spirit in man, gives us intellect, and then we have the Spirit of God that makes us complete. When you have the Spirit of God and you have the Spirit of man, then you are a complete person. You have the ability to think and make choices and rise above the human elements. And if children, then heirs, heirs with God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not selfish. What did He say? Come, sit with me on my throne. How many kings and queens do you know around this world that would invite you to sit on their throne with them? Not many. But Jesus Christ said, you are heir along with me. You're going to inherit everything along with Jesus Christ. That's what it says. And if children, then heirs, heirs with God, and joint heirs with Jesus, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. The return of Jesus Christ and the saints encompasses the totality of God's great plan of salvation. We, those of us here today, chosen by God, are part of the firstborn of God. We are living in the most critical and crucial times in human history. There's probably never been a time like this in the world ever existed. The peoples of this world are filled with fear, anxiety, wondering when and where the other next shoe will drop. What's going to happen next? Have no clue what's going to happen. They all fear about global warming and all sorts of things. Every facet of the structure of this world is in trouble. And all the world's major religions are looking for some kind of a savior, some kind of solution. The Buddhists are looking for the fifth Buddha. The Hindus are looking for Krishna. The Islamic world is looking for the Grand Mahdi. And the New Agers are looking for Maitreya. The Jews are looking for the Messiah, and the Christians are looking for a second return of Jesus Christ, but then they've rejected that totally themselves. So no matter what they're looking at, or what they're hoping is going to be the Savior, they missed it altogether. But you have been given that opportunity to understand what others do not. They are seeking a solution and they can't find it. You have a solution sitting right there in your lap. God's Word. Those who believe in the totality of the gospel and do the will of the Father will be changed into glorious, radiant spirit beings in the kingdom of God, brethren. That's the promise of God. God doesn't change. He doesn't lie. He's been that from the very beginning. That's been His goal. Never has changed. Will not change. Will continue on. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Very quick one here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. But we know that mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. We overcome, we will be changed into spirit beings. We'll be changed into glorious, radiant spirit beings, and we will rule and reign with God and Jesus Christ forever and ever. Revelation 5 and verse 10. It says, and He has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, one of my favorite scriptures. Had an opportunity when that was being developed, working for Mr. Armstrong at the time. And he was seeing the difference between the spirit of man and the spirit of God in man. And this scripture had great power and meaning. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. As I said earlier, we have finite minds. We can't even imagine what God has in plan for us. We got hints of it all through the Scriptures. But when it comes down to it, we really don't grasp the full scope of what God has in mind for each and every one of us. If you read on, I won't do that today, but in verse 11, down to that verse 14, it says, and I've dealt with scholarly people high up in churches in this world who could quote scriptures better than I could ever do, just rattle them off, have no understanding of God's word at all. Quote it daily better than I can, no understanding what the plan of God is. Because without the Spirit of God in you, you cannot understand the things of God. It's not possible. They could be brilliant no matter what, but God has to give them that element through His Spirit that opens your mind and heart up to understand the Word of God, His plan of action, what He plans for. This is a time right now during the Feast of Tabernacles when you have an 8-day period to learn more about the plan of God and how to overcome and change. Revelation 21, verse 4. I'm going to be closing it up pretty quick now. Revelation 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Even since this feast started, we've had a couple of brethren who have been deceased, unfortunately. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. We've heard this over and over again. We heard it from Brian. We've heard it from Mr. DeCampos over here. There will be a time when all the suffering that's going on in the world now will stop, cease, never exist again. That's a beautiful time to look forward to. Revelation 22, verse 1. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded their fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And believe me, they're really going to need healing. When they come out of the tribulation, they come out of the day of the Lord, they are going to need great healing. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants, that's us, shall serve Him. And they shall see His face. We will see God. We will be able to, because we'll be spirit beings at that time. Right now, we couldn't bear to see Him because we couldn't handle the radiance of God in His being. And He said, and His name shall be on their foreheads. We're going to get a name change. You know, when Jesus Christ went up after He was crucified, He had to be accepted by His Father. That's why He told the girls, the ladies that were wanting to touch Him, He said, don't touch me. I haven't been to my Father yet. Well, in the future, when you get into the kingdom, Jesus Christ is going to introduce you to the Father personally. So He's going to look out and He say, hey, Trevor Daly, young man I met today, I want to introduce you to my Father. Welcome to the kingdom of God. What a wonderful time that's going to be. Jesus Christ introducing you to His Father. So will you see His face, and His name shall be in our foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candles, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Brethren, you want to be among those who hear those words. Matthew 25, verse 23. Very famous words. Matthew 25, verse 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. Wouldn't that be great? If Jesus Christ could tap you on the shoulder and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Well, we need to be growing in grace and knowledge. We heard that in a sermon here yesterday. There's many things we are still God wants you to grow. He wants you to have knowledge and increased knowledge. And he says in the end time it will. He said, Daniel's not for you to know right now. But my future servants will have more knowledge than even you. That's our opportunity right now. Getting to know God on a personal level. You know, we can take our thoughts to God. We can have a conversation with God our Father one-on-one. What an incredible blessing it is to know that you have in store for all mankind and our role in making it happen. We'll have that role. We'll have our participation in that. You and I have been called, chosen to make it better. You and I have been called to be an active participant in the establishment of God's loving and peaceful way of life. That's our whole goal. Revelation 21, verse 7, last scripture. It says here, Revelation 21, verse 7, he or she that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his or her God, and he shall be my son and daughter. Now that's a promise from God himself. You can't get any better than that. That's a promise from himself. And should be our focus in life, our burning desire, never to take our eyes off the goal. That is what we are learning here this week. And we can't ever forget that. So brethren, continue to rejoice in the feast, but remember why we're here. We're here to learn and train to be part of God's family and to be in the ruling family of God.